Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Guys are doing good on the text page. We were talking about Houston athletes that are untouchable in trade talks, and y'all started sending in things that are untouchable here in Houston. Good job. Whataburger, that's an easy one. Papa Doe, Bun B, untradeable. Paul Wall, untradeable, untouchable. No, we're not trading them to the West Coast for any West Coast rappers. No, they're ours.
Right, right.
Chopped you, and screwed, baby. Yeah.
Somebody earlier had said, hey, James Harden was untouchable at one point in time, and then you and I were talking during the break about James Harden. James Harden had a good game last night, and ended up having a really good game. So that was what, game six?
Game six,
and,
yeah.
And you said, well, let's see, the Clippers fans might, let's see how they feel about James Harden. James Harden already did have a disastrous game six.
Yeah, last year. He did? Okay, yeah. I said, this is cool. Another fan base will get a taste of elimination game Harden here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, last year, game five versus Dallas, he was 2 for 12.
Okay.
And then game six, he was 5 for 16.
Okay.
He was 0 for 6 from three in game six last year.
So they've got a taste. Yeah. Okay, so they're actually like kind of playing with house money that he even got them to a game seven right now.
Yeah, probably. No, they already know. They know the full James Harden coming experience of collapsing.
Fair.
At the end of the
okay,
series.
Good. I'm glad you looked that up. Frenchie's chicken, somebody says on the untouchable list here. Frenchie's chicken's really good. Someone says, unfortunately, the Astrodome appears to be untouchable and indestructible. Yeah, no, dude, the Astrodome is like what Jose Abreu is right now on the Astros balance tax sheet. You know, it's just like, yes.
If we have a nuclear Armageddon at some point where just everything is just leveled.
Yeah.
And just whatever humans remain, you know, from Australia or wherever, some pocket of the world where they make it through, they build up a new civilization. Someday, 3,000 years from now, archaeologists will be pouring over this entire continent. And all they'll be able to figure out is that this culture worshipped this huge concrete dome.
Yeah.
The only thing left standing in the wreckage was this gigantic concrete dome that must have been the holiest of all holy things in this culture.
Just a bunch of cockroaches smoking cigars, hanging and staring at the Astrodome. That's all that's left, man.
We don't know how they even did it with their limited intelligence and technology, but they built this.
Yeah.
Probably aliens from outer space. Yes.
Yep. What about the OG, the first Houston Texan to ever get a safety, Seth Payne, untradeable? That's a text. That's a text.
Yeah. That's not a unanimous opinion.
Well, there's a second one here. Seth Payne and Sean Pendy Pendergast, untouchable.
That's Sean Tenderass.
Tender. Yeah. I got hit with that a lot back in the day. All right, anonymous executives. I know some shows feel like, put your name on it, man. Not this show. We like when you don't put your name on it.
As long as it comes from a writer who's known to be legitimate and actually doesn't, you know. Some writers, I don't publish the anonymous quotes because I feel like half of them are made up.
Really? I talk about all the
bona fide ones that I know are tied in and what have you. They're the ones that
you're
are
way
okay.
more selective than me. If it says anonymous on there, it makes it into the show prep for me. But this is a good one. This is, I believe, Mike Sando. It's The Athletic. Let's see if it's one of our guys here that we trust. Mike Sando. So Mike Sando is it? I would say, Seth, he's at the far end, the trustable end of journos that go get anonymous executive quotes. He's very, very good. He might be the OG when it comes to this stuff. All right, here's what they're saying about the Houston Texans. We'll get to a couple of the other teams. Sando says this: with so much focus on the Texans' O-line, Houston pulled a bit of an end around by remaking the receiver room. Early reviews were positive. All right, this is what one executive says. Quote, they have Tank Dell coming off of injury and lost Stephon Diggs, but man, when Dell gets healthy, adding the receivers they got, Higgins, Noel, to go with Nico Collins, wow. C.J. Stroud is going to have weapons galore, this executive
says. That's pretty optimistic. I think with Tank Dell,
Is the most optimistic part of that the part about the two rookies being impactful or Tank Dell coming back healthy to be impactful?
I think that Tank Dell coming back healthy and the same version of himself, and I'm not saying it can't be done. I think there's some people that just don't want to believe that that was a really devastating injury. And I get that. But for this year, like, let's just talk about this year. That would be awesome. It would be an incredible story if he came back and was productive this year.
At any point.
It's really hard for somebody whose calling card is their quickness and their speed and everything else to come back from an injury like that in less than a year. So I'm putting him on the shelf and just hoping that he takes that he has all the time that he needs to recover. So I'm not really thinking about it. I think the two receivers, I mean, it's pretty unanimous when you hear people that cover the draft talk about Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel, that those guys are both very much guys that they had them slotted where they did, but they really, really like them. And some of them just either didn't play in high-profile offenses, or in the case of Jaden Higgins, he's a guy that just improved steadily throughout his career. Jalen Noel, there's the speed and explosiveness alone really tantalizes a lot of people. The fact that the Texans got both of them has a lot of the draft nicks saying, like, oh, okay, good on you. And a lot of it, anonymous executives and whatnot.
I have yet to see, people have their various grades on these guys, whether Higgins is a second or a first rounder, whether Noel is there's people that had him at the back end of the first round in their drafts, a couple of people, anywhere from first to third. I have yet to find anybody who says either of those guys were a sketchy pick. Like, they have been universally praised for those two picks, in my opinion.
The nice thing about Noel is that playing slot receivers, it's tough for rookies. There's a lot of nuance that goes into it. And you can line him up on the outside. It's not like he's going to be exclusively slot. But just by having that level of speed and explosiveness there, he doesn't have to be a part of every single package or in every single situation. There's times where just getting his speed on the field is going to make a difference and open things up for other people.
Yeah, I guess for context of what you're saying about the slot receiver, Cecil Shorts used to say that. Cecil was a slot receiver. Cecil said that slot receiver, outside of quarterback, slot receiver is the next most, like, the most put on your plate, play-to-play position in terms
of the neck up in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
It's really having a natural feel for it, but then really studying and learning where the soft spots in the zone are, like how teams are rotating their coverages, all that. Because if you want to get open quickly and you think it's going to be, you know, cover two, but all of a sudden it's man, you got to make adjustments really, really quick.
Yep. Execanon on the Texans. Let's continue. Collins, Sando says, Collins and Higgins, he points out, they're both 6'4". The same executive added this: you don't have physical enough corners to cover two 6'4" wide receivers. And that's interesting, Seth, because I thought about, there was this notion with a lot of people before the draft, well, Higgins is too much like Nico, So why would you want two receivers that are the same? I'm like, too much like the guy who's really awesome. Like that makes and my other thought was, it seems to be working out okay for the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, who have T. Higgins and Jamar Chase, who are very similar wide receivers.
I very much go with the Daryl Morey philosophy on this, is don't overthink it. Get Daryl Morey's philosophy is get as many good basketball players on your team as you can.
Figure
out the scheme for based on what fits you and what suits you.
Yep.
And likewise with Jaden Higgins, I don't worry that there might be some redundancy in having a big, tough, physical X-type receiver. Just figure out a way to make it work. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think similarly, like Nico, and I think similarly Jaden Higgins, they're not one-trick ponies. They're not.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Not just guys that use their size to box. You know, they're not power forwards. Like they can get open too, and they've got deceptive speed for guys their size.
They have deep speed.
Yes.
And as long as now both of them athletically, their profile is very, very similar.
Yeah.
And at okay, on some of the shorter stuff, they're not as shifty. They're big guys. It's harder for them to really get low on their breaks and their stops and everything. But that's why you got to have speed with the slot guys underneath. So, yeah, I mean, to take it to an extreme, arguing that you don't want a guy who's the same type of receiver as Nico Collins, taken to an extreme, would be like saying, well, we can't have both Andre Johnson and Calvin Johnson on the same team.
Right, right.
We're going to have spacing issues. I don't know. It's just, no, it doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make sense. Yep. So Sando points out the Texans move back out of the first round to 34 after the Vikings took Donovan Jackson. Two more offensive line go off the board late in the first round, as we've heard Nick talk about on Texans All Access, and we'll have Nick on the show next week. We're still working on what day. But they did try to trade back into the back end of the first round after they had moved out to possibly, you know, presumably to get one of those offensive linemen. Houston then maneuvered in the second round, Sando points out, up to 48 to take Arianti Ursary at 48 overall in between Higgins and Knoll. Another anonymous executive says this about the Ursary pick. They got out from under the money of Tunsil. Ursary surely is not Tunsil. He's a stiffer, taller guy who they can probably get by with within their scheme with what they're going to do. They don't need a downhill physical left tackle, end quote.
Yeah.
The one thing there that I think is maybe
– okay.
Real quick, to maybe scratching the surface on it, they got out from under the money of Tunsil. It wasn't just money, I don't think, with getting out from under the Laramie situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you're genuinely happy with your left tackle, you make the contract work.
Yeah.
You don't get out from underneath his money.
Yeah.
You get out from underneath somebody else's on the team. Yeah. The left tackle isn't the guy that you do it with.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's way more to it. The other part I take issue with there is, okay, nobody knows exactly what the scheme's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird because he says he's not like Tunsil, you know, athletically. But then he also says, okay, they're not going to be a downhill scheme where he needs to be big and physical. I think they hope that he is that type of guy. He played in a scheme in college that was an outside zone based scheme and did really well with it for a guy that's 6'6", 330 plus pounds. He moves really, really well. The run blocking in the gap scheme and the power type stuff, that's going to be a work in progress. But he has all the physical traits that suggest he should be really good at that.
Yeah.
But yes, you can never project that a guy's going to be as good a pass protector as Laremy Tunsil. He's
no,
really good at that.
He's really good, yeah.
Yeah, and the other part about Ursary is that I think by and large what Jeremiah said when the Texans drafted Ursary is probably accurate. Some teams had him as a late first round guy. Other teams thought he was a third round guy.
Mm-hmm.
He is very much a whatever your favorite flavor is type of player. I think some people watch him and see that he's stiff legged and think, all right, no, there's no upside there. Other people watch him and say, okay, he's stiff legged, but he's still moving way more athletically and faster than a lot of the guys who look aesthetically better. And he's also really, really big and really, really strong. And that's so it's kind of a personal taste almost in what you're really looking for in your left tackle. And I think the Texans just, they tried to be as practical about it and said, look, he might be stiff-legged, but he still moves faster than a lot of the more supple athletes.
If that's one of the main criticisms against him, is it possible to become less stiff-legged as an athlete when you get into the NFL? Like, is that just something he's going to be the whole
possible?
Time? Is it possible to become, like, is this just something we've got to live with? Like, this is just who he is. Like,
yeah, and I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
At offensive tackle, at guard, it's a little trickier, yeah. But at offensive tackle, there's plenty of guys, as long as you're massive.
Yeah.
If he were 6'6", 305 pounds,
yeah.
He'd be done.
Yeah.
But as long as you're massive, Trent Brown's a good example. Trent Brown doesn't have great knee bend, and he's 6'8",
yeah.
But he uses his size and his mass really well. And that's maybe he can increase his flexibility
that's
and his pad level somewhat,
yeah.
But it's not a necessity,
yeah.
As long as he knows how to use his mass.
Gotcha.
He's got excellent mass.
Yep, gotcha.
He's like, he's Jupiter, Sean.
He's Jupiter.
Nobody ever accuses Jupiter of not being big enough.
No, that's true. It is always very,
never.
Very big. Yeah, no, that's a bad take. You'll show up at 9 o'clock on Fridays if you have that take.
Anonymous scout. He's not as big as everyone. Jupiter's not as big as everybody says.
Anonymous astrologist.
Yeah.
Astronomist, I guess. Astrologist would be if they were talking crap about Aquarius and whatnot. Last exec compared the Texans to the Bengals this is what I just said, because both teams have prioritized weaponry over the offensive line. Quote, the quarterback is going to have an 8 to 10 year relationship with those two Iowa State kids, and I think he's going to have a great year. Higgins can play outside the numbers in press coverage and win. The way he times his jumps, makes contested catches, wins on fade balls, jumps over guys. I love him. Noel is all business, end quote.
All business.
He's all business. Yeah.
Yeah. People have gushed about Noel's personality and mm-hmm. football character mm-hmm. and all of that. And with Higgins, you know, there was Higgins did an interview with, it was a guy on NFL on NBC. I can't think of his name right now, but anyway, at the combine. And they asked him who he likes watching, and he said Keenan Allen, which was a little bit of a surprise. Just, I mean, Keenan Allen's, he's 6'2", but he's not one of these 6'4" type guys like Jaden Higgins is. But it's he likes the creativity of Keenan Allen's releases and route running.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a little bit of it in Jaden Higgins' game. He's got a little dead leg here. He does a little – you don't want to get too funky with that stuff, because you try to emulate Keenan Allen completely, and that's not necessarily what you need to do.
Right.
But I think he seems very much like a student of the game, and that – a lot of the things he needs to refine, he understands the assignment, and he's been working on it already.
Mm-hmm.
He's just got to keep building on that.
They have some anonymous quotes in here about – it's about the AFC, so we'll hit a couple on the Colts and the Jags here in particular. It's interesting. Tyler Warren fell to being the second tight end in this class after for most of draft season it was him and then Colston Loveland. The Bears take Loveland at 10. The Colts take Warren at 14. They're obviously both very, very good players. This one exec says – a tight end like Loveland, number 10, taken number 10 by Chicago, is a dynamic athlete who can get open on his own and really affect the passing game. That's more valuable to me than what the Colts are getting, because Warren is not running away from anyone, including middle linebackers, end quote. So nice little sideswipe at Warren's lack of athleticism compared to Colts and Loveland there.
Luckily, he's got a quarterback who's definitely going to lead him properly, and
he'll definitely lead him.
I don't spot to really properly.
Yeah, yeah. Properly is the key word. Yeah,
he'll lead him by a good 7 yards.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Tyler Warren, you got to stretch out for that, son.
Here's another one. Says this about Tyler Warren: they're going to have a lot of hats that you have to account for in the run game. He doesn't create all his separation with athleticism, but he's really big at the catch point. He can adjust. He's going to make contested catches. He's strong. You can do a lot of things across personnel groups with that guy.
So, he's not Dallas Clark in terms of as a receiver, but right. He can give him more of a complete tight end perhaps. Yeah. But he also doesn't have Peyton Manning throwing him the ball.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be much more of a Kobe Fleener type experience for Tyler Warren.
I took under on all of Tyler Warren's prop bets for the upcoming season.
Yeah,
550 yards. I went under 50. I think it was 50, 51 catches, something like that. I went under on all of his stats because of who's playing quarterback for him.
Some of it might have to do with whether or not Jonathan Taylor stays healthy. If Jonathan Taylor is the guy that will, we've seen Daniel Jones. If Daniel Jones ends up taking more snaps as a starting quarterback, we've seen what having a Saquon Barkley can do for Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Without Saquon, he was just nothing. So likewise, maybe Daniel Jones, if Jonathan Taylor is healthy, then Tyler Warren, I would take the over. If it's Anthony Richardson and then Jonathan Taylor is banged up and injured a lot, then no, yeah, I would definitely take the under. Yeah. I don't think people, honestly, people who don't follow the AFC South closely really don't understand how bad Anthony Richardson is.
Yeah,
they don't get it. Now, on any given Sunday, as we know, I'm terrified of him.
Mm-hmm.
Any given Sunday, any he can given go Sunday, off and he yep. can make a couple of incredible throws and beat you with his legs. But game in, game out, he's just an atrocious quarterback.
Agreed. All right, do you want to hear what the anonymous execs are saying about the magnificent Gladstone and his bold move to get Travis Hunter? Let's do this.
The general manager of the Jaguars who's changing football as we know
it. Yes, yeah.
Everybody get ready. You're not even going to recognize this game they're playing on the field when they come to NRG Stadium.
This sport that we love is going to get changed by the magnificent Gladstone. He's magic like that. One exec says this, quote, this is talking about Travis Hunter, obviously. I can't name a dual threat guy who played both ways at the level they are drafting him at. Deion Sanders, Rod Woodson, they all settled into whatever their position is. This is my exact feeling right here. This sentence right here captures exactly how I feel about it. This exec says, as soon as he gets one injury and is out for 3 weeks, he's going to be on one side of the ball moving forward.
Yeah, that's, I don't,
this is,
you know,
a
never,
very, nev- very precarious experiment they're conducting.
Never
here.
Say never. Yeah. Never say never. Shohei Ohtani did something that nobody had done since Babe Ruth. So never say never. The difference is,
until he needed Tommy John surgery.
Right. That's right. Shohei Ohtani did something nobody's ever done before and currently isn't doing it.
Isn't doing it, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, precisely.
You get the equivalent of a Tommy John surgery in the NFL and you're out for the year. You're not playing the other side of the ball either.
Yeah,
so I think that's where, realistically, he might play more snaps than anybody's played in recent NFL history. But I will be dumbfounded if he's playing 120 snaps a game like he did in college. I think it's likely impossible to do it for an entire NFL season. And if you draft Travis Hunter number 2 overall and you trade all that stuff up to get him, I think you're deluding yourself if you think it's going to be, you got to draft him based on either how you project him as a receiver or how you project him as a cornerback who can do some extra stuff.
And they did this because of both. And I think there's all kinds of quotes from Gladstone after this draft that said, he had the one quote where he said, he's a first round pick as a corner, he's a first round pick as a wide receiver, which tells me like that's justifying a lot of the capital they gave up for him. And he had this to say when he was introducing Travis Hunter at his introductory press conference earlier this week.
You know, as we sit here, Travis Hunter is a Jacksonville Jaguar. And really what comes to mind for me, right, thinking about the sport of football and really the power of the game itself, right? Its capacity to ignite belief, right? Belief in ourselves, belief in others, right? Belief in achieving what many may deem impossible. Travis Hunter, he embodies belief, right? He's a rare person. He's a rare player. But he's also a reminder that the boundaries of the game of football were built to be challenged. And so the decision to select him was actually a statement for how we plan to move, who we are, and we want him to be nothing more than him. Because when he is, he elevates the space around him, from the football field to the city to the game of football itself.
No pressure.
Travis Hunter is who we've been hunting up. Couldn't be more jacked to be sitting right here beside him and introduce you all to the man of the hour.
Okay. Let's get our applause in. Yeah,
good job, press conference crew. Yeah. Like, the guys clap. Good job. That's great reporting.
Way to go.
Him basically, it almost sounded like a eulogy for an all-time great who died or something.
It did.
You know, like, we've been thinking he's had a lifetime to build this up. He's very happy with himself for changing the game of football.
Well,
mostly making it about himself. The biggest thing, one of the dumbest things I saw on draft weekend was Booger McFarland was making a case that in some respects it'll be easier to play both ways in the NFL because the tempo isn't as fast. Because you've got more time to rest between plays and what have you. Like, all right, but on average, you're also covering every single week a better wide receiver. Even when you're playing the worst teams, you're facing better wide receivers every week than you faced in the vast majority of your games in college. Not to mention, this simple part, this is if he's playing defensive back. So if he's playing wide receiver, which that's going to be his main position, but also defensive back. From the defensive back side of things, you also don't have to cover as long in college.
Mm-hmm.
You're covering inferior receivers, and the ball is coming out so much faster as you're playing a heavy dose of zone. It's just not the...
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The same physical challenge.
I
hope they try to play him. I hope they play him 120 snaps.
I think there's a chance that that's what they're trying to do here. And in some ways, you almost need to justify what you moved up to go get him. That's a lot that they gave up. There's a good chance. I know the Texans gave up a first to get Will Anderson. And everybody's saying, well, that's going to be a top five pick. The Texans are going to be terrible. And then they weren't. So I do want to acknowledge that there's a possibility that that first round pick next year that they gave up to get Travis Hunter, the Jags could be a 10-win team this year. We don't know. They may very well be. Maybe Liam Cohen helps Trevor Lawrence figure some things out. But the whether they're a 12-win team or a 5-win team doesn't change the amount of stress that it puts on Travis Hunter to have to play that amount of snaps. Everything that's coming out of Jacksonville leads me to believe that they're treating him as a at the very least, a rotational player on both sides of the ball, if not a full-time player on both sides of the football.
And honestly, I've seen this so many times over and over again, just when you take a guy with incredible physical talent, the absolute textbook thing you need to do is first get him comfortable in his main position, his chosen position. And don't put anything more on his plate until he gets comfortable there. Maybe the long term is that they really expect him to go 120 snaps. I hope they try to have him do it all at once right from the get go. I mean, I saw this with Mario Williams. You know, Mario Williams, his rookie year, they were having him play defensive tackle on third down. They were having him play left end, right end, all of this, and he just never got comfortable. And these coaches, and especially rookie coaches and first time coaches like Liam Cohen, they get eyes as big as saucers, eyes as wide as a sphinx, Sean, and they just want to do it all right away. Mm-hmm. And it's just not the right thing to do, but I hope that's what the Jaguars do.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the question, you know, the Shohei comparison is interesting because the Dodgers gave Shohei Ohtani $700 million it's going to be spread out over the course of like the next 20 or 30 years, but they gave him $700 million. And when they gave that to him, it was presumably because he was going to be pitching and hitting. Like he that's $20 million more a year than anybody had ever gotten to that point, probably more than that, because he was going to be a two-way guy. To this point, he's not been for the Dodgers, but when he's been doing the one thing he's been asked to do, he wins MVPs. Like, he's elite, elite at both. Yeah. I guess that would be the question with Travis Hunter, Seth. The equivalent of the $700 million, like the unprecedented give to go get it, would be all those draft picks. You know, like you're trading your second, another first next year to go get a guy who's not a quarterback.
Right.
And the question would be, okay, well, if the time comes, which could come sooner rather than later, to this executive's point, if Travis Hunter starts to get banged up, you cannot have him playing both ways. You just can't. Is he good enough at one of those things to justify that? And that's a real big question mark for me. Like, anybody, is any cornerback or wide receiver good enough to give up a two and a one next year to go get? A guy who does both may very well be. And if you need butts in seats, that's a whole other thing. But just as a player, may very well be. A guy who does just one of those things, boy, he better be either Calvin Johnson as a wide receiver or Deion Sanders in his prime as a cornerback.
You know, and honestly, I think they're doing a disservice to Travis Hunter. This is all me wanting Travis Hunter to fail specifically because he plays for the Jaguars. Yeah. But just imagine, think about the way they're presenting him in that press conference. Like, this is what did D'Amico talk about with C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson? He wants to take pressure off of those guys.
Yeah.
You don't need to heap more pressure onto them. They have enough self-generated pressure on their own. The expectations from others are very, very large. That D'Amico's felt that his job is to take pressure off of those guys. And with a lot of great athletes, that is, it's young athletes, you're trying to get them to relax a little bit. Mm-hmm. The Magnificent Gladstone is sitting in there promising that this guy's going to revolutionize the game
of football. Not just
you know?
Yes.
Hey, welcome to the NFL, kid. Just so you know, we're expecting you to revolutionize the game.
Yes.
All right?
Yeah.
Let him learn the playbook first, no Magnificent
pressure.
G.
No pressure. Oh. No pressure. Well, you know, the Athletic had an article. It turns out the Magnificent Gladstone has a little bit of Ryan Poles in him, where he's not afraid to allow the media into his
embedded media,
into his into his ecosystem.
It's a smart strategy.
Yeah,
people have been calling Ryan Poles brilliant for years without winning anything, just because he's got embedded journos
anything.
With him all the time.
Yeah. So he had Michael Silver was in the Jags war room for the draft. That's the big thing, man. You allow a journo into the war room, like the sacred, the sanctity of the war room. You have a friend forever. Seth, I don't know if you knew this, but you are intangibly rich. You, Seth Payne, are intangibly rich. The Magnificent Gladstone's descriptor of what he looks for first and foremost in a player is guys who are intangibly rich. Tony Boselli is quoted in this article. On draft day, he said this, and Boselli is hook, line, and sinker in on the Magnificent Gladstone. He loves the Maggie G, man. He says this with Boselli. There was a clear understanding, talking about the Jaguar teams that you were a part of, Seth.
Right.
There was a clear understanding of who was in charge and how things were going to get done. It wasn't always fun. It was a grind, but you knew where you stood. We weren't the most talented team, but to use a term that James loves but didn't exist back then, we were intangibly rich.
Yeah. We weren't intangibly rich enough to win a champion. Couldn't beat the Titans.
Against the Titans.
You know, the Titans had some intangibles themselves, apparently.
You were intangibly homeless.
Oh, no, yeah. I was totally. I wish that term had existed back then. My career was a constant battle between coaches and scouts, I think. Coaches loved me. Personnel guys were like, what the hell, this fat white guy? And like, no, Dom Capers or Tom Coffer's like, you just got to trust me. The kid's just, he's intangibly rich.
So you didn't have, it was strictly the physical stuff that the scouts were like, what the hell?
Oh, yeah. I didn't check off enough boxes on their little clipboards.
They were wrong. Yeah.
But the coaches loved me.
They were wrong. Because
I got the job done, Sean.
Hell yeah, man.
Dadgummit.
Hell yeah.
With my intangible riches.
You didn't even know at the time. You were intangibly rich. You were exactly what the Magnificent Gladstone would have been looking. As we make fun of him, know that you were exactly what he was looking for.
I walked in, and I didn't have a lot of classic swag, but I had a large invisible pendant of intangibles around my chest at all times. Yes. I had a gigantic not plated with anything because it was intangible, yeah. Pendant around my neck. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That's my swag.
I'm just picturing it.
Is it Cutcliffe? It was a Duke coach that said Daniel Jones.
Yes.
They know at Duke that the best swag is no swag.
Yeah, yeah. David, that's David Cutcliffe to a T.
Swagless.
Apparently, the Maggie G has labels. They have a big board where they've got the players divided into very unconventional categories.
Yeah.
Beginning with, these are the categories: math changers. Which only Hunter and Ashton Gentry made that category.
Tip the tables. They changed the mathematics changers. Of the whole situation. Okay.
Reliable starter. Uh-huh. Starting talent, buyer beware. Ooh, that would have been a fun list to look at.
So these are the Jaguars.
Jaguars.
This is how they category. Okay.
These are their buckets. Yeah, math changers.
Buyer beware. So that would be like character issues or something.
Yep. Early contributor. Intangible. This is a bucket name. Intangibly rich enough to contribute early. That's the name of a category for this guy. Only the Magnificent Gladstone could have a category with six words in it. Intangibly rich enough to contribute early. And then the last two, talented enough to contribute early, less refined. That's a category.
Talented enough, but less refined. Yeah. So it doesn't have the intangible riches or the whatever else.
Maybe
it
needs some smoothing off, I guess. He's a little raw.
So you can be in multiple buckets there, I'm guessing.
I don't
know.
It
sounds like you could be in some of the, okay.
I don't know. I don't think so. That's not how buckets work, man. Not fit for us was the last bucket, which I guess that would be a fun list to look at. Who does the Magnificent Gladstone think is not intangibly rich at all?
Yeah, I wish those would leak more often.
Yes. Yeah, it was great when they used to take people would take a picture of the war room and Jerry Jones, that happened to a couple times. Like, his whole big board's behind him as a picture's getting taken.
Who gave them an F? Tell me who gave the Jaguars an F.
Oh, Austin Mock. Austin Mock. He's the guy from The Athletic who does... We did an article about him last week on this show where he fed all the players into his little computer and it spit out the win totals. So he's a guy this is very, like, value-based stuff. And he does his report cards on a curve where there's only... It's because which is the smart thing to do. It's a zero sum game. Like, if you give everybody A's, like, it's not going to be that way. So he's got like four A's, four A minuses, all the way down to F. And the Magnificent Gladstone got an F from Austin Mock in his report card article.
It seems like he gave them an F almost exclusively based on them being too aggressive in
the value of the trade.
Travis Hunter.
Yes.
I feel like that's a little harsh. I feel like you got to bring more to the table. Yeah. I mean, you can, let's say you're taking a test in actual school, and maybe there's four questions worth 25 points. Mm-hmm. All right, if you score 0 points on the one that's worth 25 points, you can still salvage a passing grade if you do it well enough on the others, I guess. And I wouldn't grade it as 0 out of 25 for, you know, trading too aggressively up for Travis Hunter to take him at a spot where most people expected him to go.
Yeah.
I can't grade them that harshly for him. I admire the aggressiveness and boldness of the decision. It could easily blow up in their face, but I don't think, given that Travis Hunter might very well be a unicorn, okay, you're swinging on a unicorn.
Yeah.
The same way you swing for the fences on a quarterback.
Are you more nervous about you may not be nervous about either of them. I'm not super nervous about either, but are you more nervous that the Magnificent Gladstone's aggressiveness to go get Travis Hunter is a sign that they're going to do things that make them a contender? Or are you more nervous that Cam Ward actually becomes that guy in Tennessee?
I'd be more nervous about Cam Ward. Yeah. I think that, for one, that's the more normal thing, is that, a guy taking number one overall at quarterback. A lot of times it doesn't work out, but a lot of times it does work out. And the Titans, given what they were last year as a team, their defense was way better than the stats showed, as we know and as we saw. And I think there's still, I think they made improvements kind of structurally on the offense that if they can do right by Cam Ward, and if he does end up being a good NFL quarterback, that the overall scenario for the Titans I actually feel better about than whatever Travis Hunter can give them in the short term with Jacksonville.
I wonder what that dynamic's going to be in that quarterback room. It's very similar to what the Texans experienced over the, like, from 2021 to 2023. You know, they drafted Davis Mills, granted in the third round, not the second, like Will Levis, but they handed the keys for the most part, you know, other than a little bit of yo-yoing in and out of the lineup with Davis Mills. Like, he was their anointed starter going into year two, and it, you know, wasn't good either year. They were bad. There's a reason they were picking second. bring in C.J. Stroud, and Davis Mills is still in the building and seems to have settled in as a backup quarterback. I just wonder if Will Levis is going to go as quietly into the night as Davis Mills did. With Cam Ward's going to be their starting quarterback, right? I mean, they're going to hand the keys. Number one overall pick. They're going to hand the keys to Cam Ward in Tennessee. Does Will Levis accept that role the same way Davis Mills did here?
I think with Will Levis, as much as I've piled on him over and over again, mostly because he's just so dumb when he runs with the ball and the hits that he takes, I do feel that he was kind of thrust into a position that I don't think he ever looked comfortable in because he wasn't supposed to be there as a top five pick and everything else that goes along with it. He also, that fanfare was kind of a brief scenario. So, like, I think he's probably been humbled enough that he gets it.
Yep.
I don't know. I think there's probably a place for him in the NFL as kind of a journeyman, you know, career backup fringe starter type if he develops.
Same way there is with Davis Mills. Yeah, for sure. Someone says that we need to bring in Drew Hodgdon for the anonymous executive bit. Do you and Drew hit the exact?
Yeah, Drew and I hit the ignite. Yeah, I haven't done that with him in a while. My former Texans teammate, Drew's awesome because he's very cynical about everything always.
So he's perfect for the exact. That's great.
He loves pointing out how stupid everybody
I love
is
that.
All the time.
Okay, maybe
but he's very funny about
we'll
it.
We'll take that under advisement. I like Drew. I'm all for bringing him in. All right,
Drew's got a lot on his plate right now. he's got some manufacturing company.
Yeah, I was gonna say, isn't he trying to single-handedly revitalize the manufacturing industry?
Yeah. Orders have all of a sudden dried up.
All right. Well, maybe Execanon might not be the thing to do right now. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you as we roll on here. We're gonna circle back to the Rockets. At the top of the hour, the Rockets, by coming back from down 3-1, they could be reliving some magic here. We got an anniversary coming up on some 3-1 magic. We'll do that at 8 o'clock. Coming up next, Mike Florio has his new co-celebra in the NFL, and it has to do with prank phone calls to NFL football players and how the numbers were gotten. We will get to HOA Florio coming up next.